How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. It's mentor moment time. Each weekend, I bring you a brand new mentor. It's 10 to 15 minutes of our most interesting and impactful guests. Our mentor today is Kieran Crean, the co-founder and CEO of Mix Garage and Wave OMS. We're looking at one topic today, and we're looking at what kind of business should you start? And is there certain types of businesses you shouldn't start if you're based here in Ireland? Here's my chat with Kieran. First, quick thank you to my partners, and we'll get straight on to the episode. If you like this and you want to hear the whole thing, go back to episode 243. Now, on with the show. Are you an early stage founder solving problems in the food supply chain? The Green Man Group sees the value in your work and has launched the Growing Further Awards to back your vision. These awards are designed to promote startups that are driving sustainability and innovation in key areas of the food supply chain, including production, distribution and retail, built environment, and customer engagement. Enter at growingfurther.io for a shot at a share of the €100,000 cash prize and the chance to pitch your company to a crowd of industry leaders. Don't miss out. The deadline for entries is October 4th, with final judging and the awards set for January 2025. Learn more and apply at growingfurther.io. I've been recording the pod in Iconic Offices for almost 2 years, and they've supported me a lot, and they're going to support you too. They offer everything from co-working to office spaces to meeting rooms to spaces by the day. Try them for free so you can get a free co-working space or a free office for the day. Simply go to the link in the bio and enter Gary24. Thanks, Iconic Offices. Is being based in Ireland a disadvantage?
For e-commerce, for sure. There's no doubt about that. You have to contend, you know, certainly if the Ireland is your largest market and you're basing off the economics of your sales and trading in Ireland, well then, you know, you're not procuring at the same level as a competitor in France or the UK. You know, you don't have the same audience, right? The same consumer base. We looked at one point and we very decent penetration in Ireland. And if we took the same percentage across the penetration in Germany, for example, we would have been €250 million business, right? So, you know, I would look at the whole, if I was starting up a new e-commerce entity tomorrow selling product, we would certainly change track on that. I mean, there's a whole host of contexts on that, right?
What would you do differently?
Well, I mean, you know, selling other people's product, you're only ever going to win a margin. You know, so, you know, do you go down to your own brand level where it's protected, it's completely defensible, right? Where the margin is higher, but certainly the capital outflow to support that is also a lot higher, right? You know, do you decide to start a business or pitch up in the UK where you've got, you know, 60 million consumers? So for sure, there are a number of elements. And again, it's very industry specific. There's a number of elements you would do differently on that. But yeah, it is very challenging, and I'd say damn near impossible to build an incredible scaled business, e-com business selling product out of Ireland.
I think that's a key insight, though. I think a lot of businesses shouldn't be started in Ireland, maybe, you know, if new entrepreneurs are thinking. Did you and Mick ever think, do you know what, we're going to have to leave, we're going to have to go somewhere else?
As in like...
Move the business.
Pitch up. Yes, we did. And again, you know, we've been in it for a while, so there's probably nothing we haven't tried, right? So, you know, we secured a warehouse in the UK. So the logical thing was, you know, to put a product on the ground in the UK. We secured a warehouse in the UK, but a number of things played into that. So we signed the lease 6 weeks before Brexit to vote, right? So you look at.
Were you gambling? Were you kind of going, it's never going to happen, lads?
Well, I mean, who would have thought? Right? Who would have thought? But like, you know, it's you put your head down, get on with it. I mean, you're not going to, you know, we found a great facility. We had a plan to put ourselves in the UK. We can offer next day delivery to our UK consumers. So we can buy product off local supply, which gives us better margin potential, right? So all those kind of good things. We're in a bigger market. But the UK is a phenomenally competitive space, right? Phenomenally competitive space. And so we signed 5 weeks before Brexit. But I suppose the biggest issue we had with that was the fact that, I don't know if you recall, but the year leading up to Brexit, probably before that, the sterling exchange rate was down at probably 0.73, 0.74, right? So we basically had a business plan based on, and yes, we had, you know, variances and risks mapped out, but we never accounted for a sterling rate to head up to 0.9. Almost overnight at that rate, it almost made a reason to be on the ground. It disappeared.
Right.
Your margins pulled down by 20%. Mm. And in a 20%, in a very competitive space, a very competitive part space in the UK, that 20% is incredibly significant. It's incredibly significant. So we gave it a number of years. We cracked at it. We tried to buy product better, get an own brand product, etc. But eventually we actually retrenched from, we shut down operations in the UK. Now, we still have a very significant business in the UK. It's worth about 20-25% of our business, right? So, and that's all shipping from Ireland,
right?
Which has got increasingly difficult relative to breaks and the customs and the borders and institutions. It got more expensive, etc. But with our new MD on board, Barry, as of last year, we now did a full review of the UK. So why did the UK not necessarily work for us? And I suppose one of the core reasons we came to was, you know, we were looking to take mixed garage into the UK. And mixed garage has a phenomenal product set, right? It has, I think we've got over 1,200 ranges on the site. So everything from brake pads to window fletchers to car mats to polish to snow socks to roof racks, wing mirror components. So incredibly broad product set, right? And what we felt was that in hindsight, that the lack of focus on any single product sector within the UK didn't stand us well.
Right. So you would have had to niche down within the auto industry?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Wow. So what we've actually just done joint venture is probably too heavy a word for it, but we've done an agreement with a business in the UK that has three warehouses, and that they've got nearly 250,000 square feet across the three warehouses. But they're looking for space in Ireland. And so we have a secondary warehouse in Ballina with additional space. So we've agreed to provide each other space in both our warehouses to pick pack product at a very, very low cost to each other. It almost insignificant. No one, as our partner says, no one's looking to make money off the pick and pack.
Yeah.
He wants to get his space over the Brexit wall, get his product over the Brexit wall into Ireland. So we're giving him space.
That's into Europe for him, is it?
No, into Ireland.
Or just for Ireland?
Just for Ireland.
All right, okay.
Just for Ireland. And we want to get our product on the ground in the UK. So we are launching, over this year, we will launch four dedicated specific verticals in the UK market.
Okay.
To go at those verticals. So late last year, we launched carracks.co.uk.
I was going to ask you, what is it to the man in the street? What's a vertical?
Yeah, so a vertical is car racks.
Right.
So roof racks, bike racks, and everything to do with the travel sector and everything on that. We're launching wingmirrors.co.uk. So it's wingmirror components.
Okay, so you're getting that specific.
We're going that specific.
Right.
Yeah. So we're launching four verticals.
That's a key insight, I think, for entrepreneurs listening, going, you have to be so because people would look at it and go, it's a garage. How much more niche could it be?
Yeah.
But you have to go right down into
it. You have to go right into it. But you can do that. I mean, there's incredible businesses within the UK that thrive and grow on a vertical sense. I mean, there's even a competitor business over there, sparkplugs.co.uk. They sell spark plugs. and a spark plug could be anything from a pound 28 to 35 pounds.
Now that's niche.
You sell spark plug. There's 32 million cars in the UK. Right, there's 2.5 million.
I suppose,
million
when you think of it,
do you know what I mean? Right, so we've decided that for us, it's not the broad brush in the UK. Mixed garage will continue to deliver product and acquire customers in the UK.
Yeah,
but for us, the real to hit the nail home in the UK, it is very much our vertical launch in the UK that we will be driving. So if you want wing mirrors and you're sitting in Leeds, you come onto our site and it'll be everything about wing mirrors and just wing mirrors, right?
Okay.
And we're going to be driving that home. And also through our relationship with our new partner, we will have product on the ground in the UK, offer next day delivery to anywhere you want.
So you're getting it that fast.
Exactly. So again, we'd like to think that we have the lessons learned of our Brexit entry into the UK. So as opposed to broad brush, we're going vertical and we're hitting the hammer home.
But that's such a great insight because, you know, you'd kind of think, oh yeah, go to the UK, but go to the UK and there's so many varieties of how you can go to the UK. You're going to have your own warehouse. You're going to get someone else's. You're going to be niche. You're going to be broad. Like that's such a great insight.
It is. And but there's also, as with anything, right, you know, any new initiative typically would have like an operational overhead, right? You know, the operational requirement grows exponentially. How are we going to do this? And again, we might chat about it a bit, but all the technology within MixedGarage.com is proprietary, right? Mm-hmm. All the way from our data product management system, all the way through to the website. And, you know, we're at the moment, you know, the verticals are going to be carved out of, so it's going to be MixedGarage skinned down a new domain, but it's coming from the same product engine.
The infrastructure is there.
So we can wield any of our product textures. So if we want to launch, you know, if we want to launch pizzacbrakepads.co.uk tomorrow, we can do that without having to resort to integrate it directly into Shopify or Magento and the costs associated with that. So all the verticals will be a proprietary website driven through our local engine. And, you know, if we wanted to, you know, as I say, pizzac brake pads, but if you really want to get really granular, you can into it. Of course, there's an overhead to that in that every website needs to have a marketing strategy bolted onto it and all the acquisition piece and all that kind of payments and then bringing it back to the accounts and tying everything together, right? Mm. So the more you launched, the more complexity and overhead you introduce into organization. But for us, we're really, you know, carax.co.uk has been brilliant for us last year. And our conversion rates relative to MixedGarage.com here to four in the UK are a light year different. Because what we're doing is we're telling the consumer in the UK that, look, there's roof racks. We're the experts at those. Look at the pictures of what we're coming through. And by the way, if you've got a question, come and ask us, right?
If you enjoyed today's episode with Ciarán, go back to episode 243 to listen to the entire thing. I'll see you back here on Thursday for a brand new episode.